God, Jeff was always saving. And Gitch was always wrecking. God, John was always making them great fights. But you can't forget to go customs. Or butt kicker and GMS. But most of all, you can't forget the Not So Fast Podcast. The Not So Fast Podcast. The Not So Fast Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Today we have Keith Fonseca, Jeff the Race Walker himself, Ramsdell, and myself, Dave Gilbert. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning, guys.
First, we do our week in iRacing. Any other leagues, official races, or hosted races that we ran this week?
Did a Talladega race at, well, we did Monday Talladega, and then I had a playoff race Talladega for my goat race thing on Tuesday, and we were 3x3x3, the whole pack just about, and we had one caution for 31 people racing. It was
31 people were in that rut
in that race for trucks. It was you couldn't go nowhere. The third groove would work a little bit, and that lane would die off, and it was intense, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to run a super speedway series, and there would be races that was really good, but then it would also, when it went bad, it went really bad. Like people, you know how races can be on iRacing. Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh.
But yeah, you'd have three or four good races, then you'd have three or four bad ones. But it's iRacing.
Yeah,
super right. Speed races.
We had our last race over there in a Crossroads super speedway league. We ran the Gen 6s. It's iRacing Super Speedway. It was crazy because me and two other guys, we only had one caution, I think, that race. But we like split from the pack, and we were like by ourselves, like the whole race. There was like 14 people there, but somehow, some way, we were just able to break away from the draft towards the end. The last green flag pit stop, I couldn't get off pit lane as well as they could, and I separated from them, but somehow I managed to finish fourth. I think I finished fifth in the points this season after winning championship last season, so it was good. I enjoy racing over there. I like super speedway racing, so
can't complain.
Complain at all. Can't wait. Just gonna kind of just dabble through the summer and stuff and get up in fall. Lucas actually, they had one of the worst broadcasters ever. Don't ever get Extreme Sim TV. They were absolutely terrible on every single level. Not just the broadcast, but just like not showing up and all this and everything. But so they like dipped on them, but like Lucas actually jumped in and broadcasted for us.
Yeah.
And seems they want to hang on to them to broadcast.
Yeah, I broadcasted for them a couple seasons ago, and they wanted me to broadcast, but I Tuesday nights are our family night, so I don't want to, I don't want to take over from that. And actually, I don't really enjoy broadcasting, so.
I know the feeling, Dave.
If you enjoy it, you know, it's one thing. I just don't really enjoy it.
Lucas likes broadcasting. Which helps and stuff too, you know, like especially for us. Me, I absolutely hate it. I'm counting down the races until ARCA season's over, so I don't have to do it anymore. Yeah. But does for us over here, you know, in FFRL, I'm trying going through the season make the broadcast better. We came up with a new little thing you know, this week that you'll see on Sunday before the race, but just trying to get the production of it better and come up with some new things and make sure I talk about Ramsdale during the broadcast since he's watching it.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, let's go talk to him. And his wife is like, no, we're not going to talk to him. He has a nice car. We're not going to put the broadcaster's curse on him, as I already had the broadcaster's curse. Because I started like, under McKinney's car, second lap on the backstretch.
I think she is the broadcast jinx. Whenever, like, even like going back before when she used to do the cameras and stuff, she like click on somebody. Boom, something would like happen to him and everything. I think she's the jinx when it comes down to it.
But yeah. I mean, after that incident I had with McKinney, nothing really bad happened. I worked my way through. I just needed one caution to tighten us all back up. That's all I needed.
The issue with me with broadcasting personally is that I only am able to get on iRacing very few times. So, to take one of the nights that I can do some iRacing to broadcast, it takes away from it. Now, if I could have more free time, broadcasting might not be so bad. But for me right now, I just don't have the time.
Yeah, it's almost like another full-time job.
Yeah.
with me, it's I'm not the main person. Like I tell everybody, I'm not the main person to talk. I'm a good two or even like third person. But just to like to keep everything flowing and stuff, that's not me at all. I need somebody to be the one to keep it flowing, and then I can jump in and say some stuff.
You need a Rick Allen.
Yeah. Well, I need Lucas is what I need.
Yeah.
I mean, broadcasting is it's much easier when there's two people because.
You can bounce things back and forth. I do have her, and she did a great job last Sunday too, and we figured out we were having mic problems, so nobody heard the first race of the season, only heard me and nobody else. But last week we got it figured out. She's doing a good job too. It's just I'm not good at talking about racing. is my thing. I'm good at jumping in and being me, but not talking about racing. Kind of, I mean? Yeah. It is what it is. Crap.
So. Yeah, speaking of broadcasting, I was broadcasting last night. I'm like, let's check on Keith, see how his qualifying's going. You're on lap two of your qualifying lap. And there you are in the middle of the track.
Me just wrecked on the back stretcher.
You were just wrecked. I was like, oh, looks like Keith had some trouble.
And then I just sat there for I think it is on my lap too. I came off and I clipped the wall and I was like, oh, okay. And then I just wrecked the car and
finished it off.
But it was cool because when I wrecked it, then I started barrel rolling and stuff. And then it hit the catch fence and stuff. And I heard the fence. I was like, oh, that was pretty cool. And then I just sat on the track for a while.
I should have rebound that and caught all that. I just seen you wrecked. And I was like, well, we'll see.
I think I hung a left down into the inside wall.
Yeah.
And then just it was pretty amazing wreck though.
I did that on Thursday at the end of practice. There was 30 seconds left to practice. So coming off of two, I didn't hit anything. I just hung left and went right to the inside wall to finish my truck off before the practice session ends. And Doug had the camera on me for the broadcast, and he's like, oh, Larry told you turn two is real tricky tonight. That's even trickier when you're aiming for that inside wall.
Right.
But, yeah, well, we have, so you did go on Sunday night. You had your stock car series running the ARCA cars. You guys made it to Auto Club.
We did. We had no cautions on Sunday, which was, good. That's Auto Club, big wide track,
We had 20 people. That was dumb to not have a caution.
If we had 20, especially I think 19 actually started it, you know.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
But, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it was good race. The one thing that, like, So when me and Lucas made the season, we randomly picked how many laps the race was going to be. We didn't check fuel or anything and stuff. We actually played a little game. We played, okay, I'm going to pick a number, and then he has to pick the laps within five under it or five over it. So for all the club, it ended up on 69. So we had no idea that it was fuel mileage, but I didn't know that it was fuel mileage race either, being in a boot, because I had no idea how far people could get. So I was, like, wondering, like, well, if then people start pitting. But it turned into a fuel mileage race.
So you guys run 50% fuel still? Or
we run 75%
fuel. 75% fuel, okay.
Yeah, but like I said, we didn't check, like, to see if it was close or whatnot. We probably would have changed the laps, added, like, some more laps, just so that it wasn't just a fuel mileage, but the fuel mileage, it being a fuel mileage race, made it interesting. And we had Electric Traffic play the fuel mileage game and made it work. It was. he said he had to save three laps, and he did. When everyone started pitting, and I'm up here, it's like, oh, coming on, and I see he keep going. I'm like, And E.T. had speed, too. Like, he wasn't slow Sunday night either, which made it... But there's a few other people. Rick Kohler actually stayed out longer than E.T., so he was kind of even in a better position than what E.T. was. But, you know, he made it work, which made it interesting. You know? He managed that gap, and Lucas ran him down, but only got within 2 seconds of him, finished second. And then Evan Hurdle, who was fast, you know, he took fourth of Lucas that last pit stop. Only he had taken two to try and save time, which probably actually helped him, but then didn't. Evan is third. We had Robert Barney coming fourth, and Matthew Fitz rounds out the top five.
So next week you're at Lucas
Poor
Oil.
Poor Ramsdale finishes in 11th. Yeah, we did have one incident. You know, Kevin Durant. They were three wide, and he moved up some, and then Ramsdale was.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. But it didn't actually bring out a caution because everybody kept going, and Porchop got shot down like to the apron and stuff. But it didn't, because everybody kept going, didn't actually bring out the caution. Which, like hindsight, looking back, that it turned into a fuel mileage, which was still great, you know, that E.T. tried playing the game. It would have took the whole fuel mileage thing out, too, if that caution had come out. But you know, it was boring to watch, but at the same time,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes things play out like
I know Josh was in our chat, and he's like, dude, he's like, if you didn't have that accident, you would have been right up there with those leaders. I was like, yeah, but you know, hey, that's the way the cards play out. I went from 18th to 11th with what I had, so I'll take it.
Yeah, like last night my heart dropped when that last caution came out. You know?
I knew I wasn't
going to get up front, but I was thinking about the bracket challenge, and I had Gitch behind me.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is going to get bunched up. I'm like, Gitch is going to beat me. I'm like, I don't have that short run, you know, like that two lap speed and everything. I was like, I'm done here. I would have been able to held him off. Like, all I had to do was run. I think there was like five laps left. I could have just ran the high line.
Yep.
I could have ran the high line. Even if he got to me, he wasn't going to be able to actually get around me.
Yeah, clearing somebody was totally different than catching them and trying to pass them. You know, that wasn't happening.
I never would have gave him the outside. He would have had to do it inside. Yeah. I would just ran high and stuff.
But. Yeah. He took two tires, and that ended up being the strategy call because you got stuck racing with cars behind you.
What? But so, in the one corner, good old Jeff here.
I went in there and I'm like, all right, yeah, and he's not there. I don't hear my spotter. I was like, all right, I'm just going to roll it here because I'm going to get a playoff. I'm like, all right, now I got to worry about playoffs because my bracket was already established. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I just got to worry about my playoff points. I got to worry about points now for playoffs. And I was like, yep, he's there, but he's not there. I was like, all right, then.
you slid up in front of me, which I'm not mad at all. Up, you know, let's end it right. You know, slid up in front of me. It made me check up.
Yeah,
and then I was done.
Yeah, Richard was like, he's like, he's gonna be mad at you. You just put him in the wall. I was like, I don't even was near him. He's like, I even passed him. I was like,
I had the run, you know. So but you just slid up, but it made me check up, and Richard was, and then Turkle was just coming like a bat out of hell. You know, and kind of from way back there and stuff. And then he made me low, and I seen him coming, and I entered the corner thing, but this, like, I was giving him room at the same time, and it just completely messed me up. Then him and Richard, you know, and it turned into ninth place. I was like, whatever. I wasn't mad at anybody. I knew I was done. As soon as the caution came out, I knew. And I knew Gitch took two tires because I'd seen him get out. I was like.
And he was in front of me. I'm like, oh, and then I got loose with him on the bottom. I couldn't do anything. I was like, oh, man, I got to do something here.
Yeah, I actually thought it was the bad call. In my mind, I thought I wouldn't take two tires because the cars drive differently when you put two tires on them. You know, they don't drive the same as when you have four tires on there. They don't have as much grip. And it usually feels like to me when I'm racing it, it takes a lap or two to get used to driving with the two tires. And so I was like, I don't know, two tires on a green white checker, that's probably not a good call. But I didn't say that during the broadcast and it ended up working out for them. But I didn't think it was going to.
You know, it's well, been told, you know, that car you don't really want to put two tires on. You want to put four in and want to fill it with fuel on top of it, too. You know, and crap. So I just took a whole pit stop thing and I was like, no. Like, it might have been different if you didn't slide up in front of me and that just completely jacked me up or whatever. I wouldn't say mad or whatnot. I just hated the fact that I lost a couple more positions to Richard and Turkle on top of it. It was just like, you know, like I'm like watching them come. I'm like, no, I'm watching Richard slowly. I'm like, no, I can't afford to lose any more positions. At least I have in the playoffs. I had a nice little bit of buffer. I was 10 points above the cut line, which helps me too, you know, going into the playoffs. So,
yeah. As far as your stock car series, though, you guys are at Lucas Oil this coming up week. So,
yeah,
how
we
excited
are.
Is that? That's usually a fun little short track. It's one of my favorite ones on iRacing.
I'm not sure.
It's got some character to it.
I'm not sure if excitement is the word more than fearful.
Yeah.
What there could be. I mean, like, Lucas Oil is nice. It's a good short. And the ARCA car drives different than a lot of the other oval cars, too. There kind of is more than one lane in an ARCA car than just, you know, running the high line. It's just, you know.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of character to it. It's not just one and running one line. You could slide it in there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is, you know, higher, you know, and then it's hard to get the car to stick, you know, down low. But being in an ARCA car, it'll be a couple weeks ago in a different league, I ran an Xfinity car there. That was interesting. Let me tell you.
Huh, it, I don't know if I've ever ran one there, but yeah, that does sound interesting.
It was. I was one of the few people that could actually pass that night because everybody's just up high, but I was able to make passes. So you think more, I mean, because the trucks actually go there in real, you know, in real life, but like everything's just like one, but this is a fun little, you know, super sketchy coming on the pit road, you know, well, that pit road is, I was sitting there playing with the cameras the other day with the SDK, and I set up an AI race. And the last time that I set up an AI race, I had the ARCA car and I had the trucks out there on the track at the same time. Well, I had trucks. I was in an ARCA car because I was doing cameras for both of them. So I'm here playing with the cameras. I'm like, let me go out there and run a few laps and stuff. And I'm running the laps and like the truck drivers are starting to pit and they're missing pit road.
The AI
is missing pit road. They're like stopped in the grass past pit road and everything. There was like six or seven of them, like, and I'm just like absolutely cracking up and everything that even the AI couldn't make pit road there.
Yeah, I remember watching like Thursday Night Thunder back in the 90s, and they would run there. It was called IRP back then, and they put on some good races. But yeah, so that should be an interesting, fun race on Sunday night. But we did on Monday, this past Monday, we took the trucks to Talladega for the second week in a row for the Dirt to Daytona series. We had 9 of us show up. Qualifying, we had Jeff Ramsdell race walk to the pole.
And I did.
He got them hips involved and out qualified Keith.
Set of my bonus points for the night and didn't work out.
Yeah. So then come race time, though, you know, there was two groups. There was Patrick Anderson, Michael Gitchell, Jeff, and Richard Crane. They were all in one group. And then there was the other group of Thomas Myers, Kevin Bernheimer, Josh McKinney, and myself. There was a group of four. And then, you know, the lone wolf out there with Keith Fonseca. He was the lone wolf. He didn't have any teammates. But
I did ask for some teammates. And then they all left me out to dry.
Yeah, I know that like Keith wasn't in anybody's voice chat, so I mentioned to the guys in my chat, I'm like, Keith doesn't have any teammates out here, you know, and I know that if I had the opportunity of helping Keith, I was going to help him. I wasn't going to, you know, I felt like somebody needed to, you know, be his teammate, I was nowhere near you all night, though. I don't, you know what I mean?
Like this was my thinking, right? Like that hopefully for the main, like for basically the whole race, people like I'm there, be helpful. Cause like whoever I'm going to be around, that's who I was going to help more or less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stuff at the end of the race, I knew it was going to be every man for himself. And if it like meant like Patrick pushing Ramsdell like or something like that, I know I'm getting hung out to dry, which is completely understandable. You know, I just wanted to make sure to get to the end of the race, and then I shot myself in the foot.
Yeah.
When I sped that first one, I still can't believe that super speedways is one place that I usually do not ever speed, and I don't know how I managed to. I think part of me too is when I'm towards the front coming into the pit, I'm more worried about what's going on behind me and getting ran over. And I think that was part of it, that I just started braking too late, cause just worrying about trucks behind me and stuff. And I don't even think it was. It wasn't even close, to be honest. I think I was doing.
You flew in there.
I was doing. Yeah, I was doing like 70, I think, when I hit the line. And I slammed them brakes on, too, just hoping for the best. And I suppose. Yeah. And then it was just hoping for a caution. Yeah, which there was hardly any of us there. So, like, I basically knew it wasn't going to come, you know.
Yeah, well, there was 9 of us. Like we said, there was 4 groups. So after the first caution, we kind of spread out where there was a group of 4, a group of 4, and then Keith somewhere in between. And so, you're right, there probably wasn't going to be a caution because everybody, the 4 teammates on each group were working together, so they're not going to wreck. And also, so it ended up being a green flag race from start to finish. Yeah,
because you're not going to race until the, like, really last race lap, hard until the end of the race. And it's like, by that time, it wouldn't have done me no good, you know, if it happens that late and stuff. And,
yeah.
And then the 9 of us that do race, we've raced against each other for years now and work on a race, race clean, you know, then other people that show up.
So it's kind of a decent race,
you know.
and then Richard sped or whatever, you know, like the second one.
Yeah.
And like so I had gained that position, but then I was like, well, do I want to spend the next half hour just driving around to like finish 8th or 9th? Or do I want to go watch TV with Sonya?
Or make a cake.
So, you know, going to watch TV went out Monday night. Like, you know.
Keith left. He's like, I'm done with this. I'm like, where'd Keith go? I was like, oh, okay, he got done.
Yeah, just like I just couldn't. You know, just like, if I hadn't sped, and you know, but speed and being a lap down with hardly anybody there. If we had more people there, I wouldn't have left. But just with thing and knowing that nobody's going to wreck each other and stuff, I was annoyed at myself more than anything.
Yeah,
that I sped.
And then you left, and it didn't matter anyway. So, you made the right move.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So with the trucks, though, the one thing that I noticed, and I'm sure you guys noticed, is that they overheat pretty fast now. And so, I told the guys in my Discord, I said that it's going to come down to who's got the most. The cooler truck that last lap, the second truck in line, you know, if you're at 270, 272 going to the white flag and the other truck that's in, you know, on second in line is at 260, that other truck's going to be able to push harder that last lap. Whereas, you know, if you're already close to overheating, you're not going to be able to push as hard.
Yeah, Patrick was behind me pushing. He's like, I gotta back off. And then that's when Bo would get a run on the outside, and then I would get a run on the inside. And then, you know, he's like, I'm pushing you from here on out. I don't care if the thing blows up or not. And he pushed a little too good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, I said, I was sitting about 268 or something coming to that white flag lap.
Yeah.
And so I figured I think 281, 280, between 281, 283, I think that's where it was going to blow up at.
But yeah.
And so you had, you know, if you got to 280, you had to back off, you know. And yeah.
I looked at the results and I was like, they wrecked each other. Yeah. Like, there's 8 of them on the track. Like, how did they manage to wreck?
He bumped me out of two, and I saved it down to the bottom and got back up into the racetrack. And then,
I don't know what they did up front. Patrick is good for turning people or whatnot in the corners.
Yeah. Yeah. But coming to the white flag, though, I was pushing Thomas on the outside, and Patrick was pushing Jeff on the inside, and I told Kevin and Thomas that, you know, Patrick's been pushing pretty hard. He's got to be close to overheating. And I was ready to push that last lap. I had, like I said, I was about 268. So I had like 12 degrees to play with there And so we were going to cook that last lap, but it didn't matter. Patrick took Jeff out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Thomas probably would have still won, only because I think that outside lane has that runoff of four.
I would have gone rowdy on him. He ain't winning this race.
Yeah. I mean, coming off of four, because the start-finish line is closer to turn one, that outside lane just has that run coming through that tri-oval. Usually can, if both second trucks are pushing equally, the outside lane's just going to get a little bit further ahead. So I just liked our position. But, you know, from second on back, everybody was racing, I thought, for that extra position. But Patrick made sure Jeff finished seventh. Yeah,
right. I could have took a page out of Turkle's book and just turned right, you know, and pushed
him. Oh, yeah. I mean, Now,
but that's
had other things happen, then, you know, everything's out the window. But, you know,
we
were just sitting prepared for, you know, being clean. But
that was going to be a good finish, too.
Yeah, it would have. I would have rather raced it out, and but Gitchell, he had other plans, and he's all right though. He had a mishap, and I ended up finishing sixth. But I did have the fastest lap of the race, so we'll take that. I think I had the fastest lap of the race in the Talladega truck race on the previous Thursday night too. So I'm really good at sucking up, I guess.
Right. You must be in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. But Wednesday night, took the sports car series, Keith, with the prototypes to Homestead, Miami. How'd that turn out?
We did. The Evan Hurdle picked up the win over Kevin Bernheimer with ET. Coming in third, Thomas for Lizzo. Fourth, Justin Galloway in fifth. Mark Bradshaw in sixth. And I finished in seventh place. David Tamara didn't actually start the race.
So you might as well just start telling us who finishes second. We are going to assume that Evan wins the races.
Yeah, right. Like,
someone's got to put him in the Formula V and everybody else race.
Yeah,
he might still win.
He's still beat everybody, you know.
Right.
But Wednesdays are kind of dead. It's obvious, yeah. Like, it's basically the same people this week as last week, but minus Lucas, who wasn't there. So yeah. we're already trying to think of what's next season going to be, kind of like, you know, just I don't know why it's so dead this season. If it's the car, which it's a great car to drive, I absolutely love that car. You know,
you try to recruit more people, maybe.
But like the people who were like coming out last season aren't coming. Like honestly, I don't have that much motivation for road course racing lately. That's why we kind of handed the reins over to ET, because I'm just burned out on road course racing, hence the fact that I didn't run the 6 hours this weekend.
Yeah, I was wondering that. I was like, oh, Keith steered last night. I was like, he must not.
Well, me and Lucas were trying to get, because he had to work, so we're trying to figure out some sort of schedule. Like, we were going to get a third person and I was going to start the race and then them get in the car so I could come race, you know, NIL, and then Lucas gets in the car when he gets home from work. But like, we didn't even have the motivation to like figure it out to get it done or anything. Just we're just like meh. And
yeah,
Daytona this year really burned us out with everything that happened with us. It just kind of put a damper, you know, on the whole year so far, which really the only big one left is the 24 hours at Spa. You know, I think there's some other ones, but that's the last really, I think at the end of the season they might have, but I don't know. We'll see. We're we're seeing it's just I mean the numbers are like half of what they were at the end of last season. So I don't know if people don't want to buy a $3 car or just like people are just burned out. I think a lot of what kept it going last season too was them people who didn't come to every race but like would show up sometimes and hear, and I think that kept the numbers up last season. Just somebody would just show up every once in a while. But yeah, like so far this season it's just the same in the two races people. And personally I left to go run somewhere else. So
he left his own league.
Yeah. I talked to these guys about you know, we started that truck league last season, and I talked to Jeff and Patrick. I said, I think that people join a league because they're looking for a particular car. You know, that's why you join a league. I want to join this league because it's a truck league and I like running the trucks. Or I want to join this league because they run next gen and that's what I want to run, or whatever car you're particular looking for. And then when that league changes, you know, people are like, well, I'm going to go find another truck league, or I'm going to go find another next gen league. And so I understand leagues switching it up because it gets stale a little bit. But I also understand why people might want to leave and find another league because they want to run that particular car.
So, oh, I completely understand that. You know, it's just like our numbers were dying with the GT3, you know. And then remember last season we ran the Toyota too. It's like, well, it's dying. What can we do? And here it's like, hey, maybe something fresh. I mean, we do it on Sundays too in stock cars. You know, like over time, like it's fun and everything, but at the same time too, it does get stale. That's why, you know, we kind of do what we do. We think is, you know, like keep holding, you know, our numbers and stuff, you know, just like keeping, but it's not like we're not doing it every single season, you know, the way that we're, you know, doing it too. Like we'll run, well, we're doing ARCA, but it's summertime too, so it's a bit different. But you know, then we're going to run two seasons of trucks, then next year we'll run something this summer, then we'll go back to like Xfinity. So it won't constantly, like it'll seem like it's changing, but then again it's not really.
There's a rhyme to your reasoning there, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I get what you're saying there.
You know, but like you know if we're in trucks or if we're in Xfinity, you're going to run two seasons in a row.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a good idea. I know I ran leagues before that they're running a certain car and I'm like, I really like this car, and they're like, oh, we're switching to, you know, this car, you know, say it's a street stock and we're gonna switch to modifieds next season. I'm like, well, I don't really want to run a modified, so I didn't join that league again the next year.
It's just one, like a league does it constantly, you know. Then it's like, well, this is the whole reason why I'm here too. But you know, I mean, we do have that good core of drivers that have been with us for a while, you know. So like they know what we're doing too. It's like, yeah, we get other people to come in, but we have, you know, that good core of driving, which is great too, because over time you see the people like that were in the back of the pack, you can see them getting better from the time that they've been with us too, which is great to see, you know.
And I think one person that's I've seen really excel is Matthew Fitz there. He's competitive now.
He he's always been competitive, but he's more competitive. Like one of the ones that I've seen, you can see, is actually Carl Fitz. Carl was a bit of a train wreck when he joined FFRL, you know, but like he's gotten so much better since he's been, you know, running with us, and like it's great to see people like that getting better, and you know, and hoping at some point that he really starts to get to be, you know, competitive. And I mean, like, the front of the pack were take out Lucas and take out Evan,
you know, right.
And stuff. But like you go past them because they're kind of the cream of the crop right now, you know, there's so much parity behind that though. Like, you don't know who's going to finish where, which is, it's great, you know?
Yeah. Patrick Anderson was like that for us when he joined. He was a train wreck, and I'll let you know when he gets better.
Yeah, right. Please do.
do I still get more time on the backstretch? Backstretch inside wall.
He wrecked Keith also, didn't he wreck you at Talladega, Keith?
He wrecked me at Daytona.
Oh, Daytona. Was that on the backstretch?
It was coming off of 4. We were leaving the outside lawn.
All right. I was going to see if there's a pattern there, but I guess there's not. He's going to wreck you anywhere. that's the pattern.
he was doing a little bump drafting with me last night there towards the end, trying to catch them ones, you know, up in front of us, and we were closing in a bit, and then my tires just starting to get just a little bit worn, and then that's when he made his way, you know, got around me and stuff. But yeah. Yes, Patrick, I still worry when you're behind me.
you have to.
Speaking of NIL, so Thursday night we took the trucks to Michigan. We ended up, go ahead with it.
Yeah, we did. We had 25 trucks taking the green. 26 taking the, no, yes, 25 taking the green. Jeff Vickery pulled out the pole with Jeffrey Radke second. Ryan Johnson was third. Kyle Spees was fourth. And Patrick Anderson was fifth for qualifying. We got into the race. We did 80 laps, 7 cautions for 22 laps, 19 lead changes. Overall, it was a pretty good race. Jeffrey Radke, race. Lucas Smith snuck out a win over Ryan Johnson. Kyle Spees was third. Dave, you were fourth. Dalton McKinney was fifth. Wally Babb was sixth. Sean Long was seventh. Eighth was Michael Miller. Michael Toomer Jr. was ninth. And Keith, you rounded out the top 10.
I was like 15th when I took the white flag.
I know, huh? You get major runs in those trucks. And
oh, no, I came around and they're wrecking all over the place. Yes, it was. and everything. I was like, okay, ended up in the top 10 after all this.
Yeah, about middle of that race, I was running, I don't know, probably fourth or fifth, but I had a run and I passed both Luke Smith and Ryan Johnson. In 3 years of my racing, I've never passed Ryan Johnson on green flag, whether maybe through a pit cycle or something, but not just went out there and passed him. And I passed him, and I was like, this is it. I can retire now. I finally passed Ryan Johnson on
the race track. I passed him also. I was like, oh, this isn't right. What's going on?
Yeah. I was like, did he wreck? Did he have a flat tire? What's going on? Is he out of gas? So why did I just pass Ryan Johnson? I was smiling from ear to ear the rest of that race. It didn't matter how I finished anymore. I finally passed Ryan Johnson on the track.
So if we look at points here, Kyle Spees is 17 points above the cut line. Lucas Smith is second, 15 points above. Wally Babb is 7. Above, and Jeffrey Radke, 6 above the line. Below the line is Corey Stahl, 6 points. Behind Dave, you're 9 points behind the cut. Dalton McKinney is 10, and after my poor performance, I'm 16 points below the cut line. And we go to Iowa next week. A little bit of a short track, and it'll be exciting.
Yeah, I don't think, 9 points is a lot for me to make up. You said Corey's in fifth with 6 points behind?
6 points behind, yes.
Now, that's doable. That could be made up. I think 9 is just a little bit much.
Well, look at me. I was ahead of you by 12 or something. I only had 25 points, and you got 40. That's 15 points right there, you know, so it's doable.
Yeah.
It's doable, but
I would need two people to have a bad race.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You need you need the ones above the cut line to have a bad race. You have to have Corey actually have a bad race because you have points to make up on. Well, not a bad race, but finish ahead of them because you have to make up points. That's a problem being not fifth in points and being down because you have to make up the points on everybody above you too.
Yeah.
You know, that's below the cut line.
Yeah, and that's fine. I have had a pretty good season, so I won't complain if I don't make it. I'll be pretty happy with my season.
Yeah, you got more top tens and more top fives than me. And then Keith, too. You got more top tens than all of us.
Yeah, but Keith or whatnot already got knocked out.
Yeah,
because, he's intense. Because of the terrible Talladega.
I know, right?
If I 18th, 17th or 18th, if I had finished, I would have made a way in, but it wasn't meant to be. It's all
right,
though.
Right. How do you think NASCAR drivers feel, the real NASCAR drivers feel about Talladega in the playoffs, and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nerve-wracking. But then we went last night. We went to back to Michigan for the race, and to no surprise, Ryan Johnson got the pole. Joe Turkel was second. Patrick Anderson was third. I was fourth. Kevin Bernheimer was fifth for qualifying, and we're all within a tenth for qualifying. And then we went on to the race. 95 laps. We only had two cautions: one for the stage and one for a late caution. For six laps, 10 lead changes. But Ryan Johnson came out with the win over Sammy Harrell. Patrick Anderson was third. Luke Smith was fourth. Gitchell was got his top five, and he had 0x, which is amazing.
For Gitchell, yeah, he was excited for that one.
Yeah. I finished sixth. Joe Turkel was seventh. Richard Crane was eighth. Keith, you were ninth. And Timothy Cook came home 10th.
Whose turn was it to wreck Gitchell that race? Because somebody failed. They were supposed to wreck
him. I don't know. I didn't get the memo, apparently.
Yeah. Somebody's going to have to wreck him twice next race.
The points for the...
And before I get to the points, I want to say shout out to Johnny Williams. You guys see that dude's paint? That was pretty slick.
Yeah, it was.
I did not see it. I was busy. I didn't pay attention to any
messages. Yeah, he posted it up in the Discord. It was a pretty sweet looking paint. It was a Richard Petty paint, but anyways, I just thought I'd mention that because I thought it was pretty slick.
Yeah, he was. He only ran 9 laps for the paint. But yeah, he's out there, you know.
Them were some fancy looking laps though.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He looked good while doing it.
Right?
That's all you had to do. But the points, Johnson's 27 points above the cut line. And this is where it gets tricky. This where it gets funky. It's 7 points between second and sixth. Kevin Bernheimer is 2 above the cut line. Radke's 1. Keith, you're 1 above the line. Anderson's 1 below, and I'm 6 below. Trout, 16 below, and Corey Stahl, 52 below the cut line. So that's going to be an interesting point battle next week, Dave, for your broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. It was. I'll be quite honest that Ryan had like a 4-second gap over the second place car at one point, and there was a lot of racing. It was a pretty boring broadcast. It might be one of the worst ones.
There are a couple of battles. Me and Luke are battling for a while.
I was able to talk about Keith and Gitchell's butt kicker bracket battle, and there for a while I was able to talk about Jeff Radke and Jeff Ram. Like, you know, you guys
are back and forth
battle.
You had me driving through the field in the beginning of the race.
Yeah,
from you know, because I had the EOL and I started moving through the field. And I'm like, okay, why is everybody else going so much slower than me? I had speed last night, and then when everybody pit, so I stayed out until I had to. I came in, and what does Keith do? Keith speeds.
Keith does. Keith.
And sits there and got a 40-second hold. That's how I managed to be a lap down. But luckily, you know, at that point, not because you never know how a race is going to play out, too. You know, so luckily I was the lucky dog too. When stage got there, I just hated the fact not end up getting stage points though.
Yeah,
it didn't put me in the back, and I came through, and I was driving back through the field yet again.
Yeah, I will say that and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you looked much more racier last night than on Thursday night.
Me?
Yeah. I mean, not to say you were racy on Thursday night, I just felt like last night you were fast.
I didn't have anything Thursday night. Like, after Thursday, like, I actually told Gitch, I was like, you deserve the point for the bracket. I was slow. Like, the truck at Michigan, just like, I didn't feel. See, my problem is too, I'm always thinking about tires too, and everybody else is just out there full throttling everything, whereas I'm not, and I think that hurt me a little bit too, because it would let everybody get out, and then I just couldn't make up the time doing it and stuff and just being back in the pack. But yeah, I just didn't feel comfortable whatsoever on Thursday night. But then at the same time too, I'm not racing for anything. I'm not in the playoffs too. So there's that in my mind too. Like, I was racing with Gitch, but like, as we're going into the race, Gitch is just like gone like all night long. I'm like nowhere near him and everything. So I was just kind of just out there just driving Thursday night, but you know, Friday night, you know, I have something to race for. So
yeah, you look much more racier last night. I could tell when you were marching to the field.
You know, I love Michigan, like, and Auto Club. I like them tracks. I always run well at them tracks. So you know, I was surprised with myself on Thursday night. Like, just like, I didn't feel like I had speed, but you know, last night, like, I'm like coming through like the field, I'm like, okay, and then I get to like Luke, and I go around Luke, and then I drove away from him, and I'm like, am I missing something here? Like, why am I driving away from Luke right now, and like, he's not being able to keep up with me, kind of a thing, you know? I was like, maybe I'm as fast as I seem like I am tonight driving through the whole field and everything. Like, yeah, but yeah, just having to drive through the field twice though did not help me after the speeding penalty, and then having to do it again was no help whatsoever though.
Yeah, but coming down to six, seven to go, Keith had, he was just in front of Gitchell. Gitchell was trying to get around him. He just could not clear Keith, and so it looked like Keith might have pulled off that bracket win, and then the caution comes out.
My heart dropped. What was the caution?
So looked like Joe Turkle just lost it and hit the wall, and there was
it didn't happen. It's like none just happened in front of me. And like, I didn't necessarily see anything behind me either. I'm like, who's racing for last place and just brought out the caution?
Yeah, I don't know where position he was in when that happened, but yeah, he wrecked, and you know, he wasn't stopped on the track very long, but just long enough for the iRacing to throw the caution.
Yeah, them cautions could come out so weird.
Yeah, so, you know, there could be three cars on the track wrecked, and you know, sometimes I race and throw that caution.
Yeah, stopped on the track sideways and won't come out, but then somebody just like wiggles or something and goes down onto the apron and the caution.
Yeah,
when that caution came out, I knew I was done in the bracket challenge. I knew. Yeah. I like, especially when Gitch came out of the pits in front of me. I knew I had no short run speed. We're going to be all packed up. Everyone's going to be sliding all over the place in different lanes and stuff. And you want it to be low. And I was like starting on the outside and stuff. So like I knew I was dead when it came to that. And was just hoping for the best. And in the meantime, I ended up losing more positions. So
yeah, I actually thought you were sitting in a really good spot because Gitchell took two tires, and we were talking before the podcast, we started the podcast, but I know me personally, when I'm running the next gen and you take two tires, it just takes a few laps before it starts to feel comfortable. You can't just go 100% there the first two laps. And I've never taken two. I've never taken two because I just don't like the way it feels, or it takes me too long to get used to it. Because you have to drive it differently.
I don't ever take two, ever.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel comfortable on two tires, you know? And so it's like, no, I'd rather have four and try to drive three people than to take two and gain that, because I'll probably just end up losing it anyway.
Or wrecking myself or somebody else along the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always in. No, just take four, put four on it and, you know, go. But yeah, I mean, if it was like four laps or something like that to the end, them two tires probably wouldn't have worked out. But when he took two, and it crossed my mind, but I hate taking two tires. You know, to gain it, I was like figuring, like, yeah, somebody, if you took two, you probably will be able to hold off, you know, some people.
Yeah.
It is what it is, though, you know.
I tell you what, on Thursday night, we got to a green flag pit stop there towards the end, and I never clicked off my tires at any point during that race. But I came down pit lane, and 6 seconds later, it says, I'm done. Go, go, go. And I'm like, wait a second. It never changed my tires in the pits. And so I left, you know, I had enough fuel to make it to the end. When I pitted, there was, I think, maybe 15 or 16 laps left. And so I came out. I'm like, well, I'm going to run these tires. I had like almost a 3 second gap, I think, on Ryan and them and the trucks. And I'm like, well, I'm going to run these tires to the end. I'm not pitting now. And the caution came out. And everybody had pitted that took tires was pinned that lap down. They had to take that wave around. Well, I didn't pit. I was out in front. I didn't go a lap down because I didn't take tires, which somehow I got lucky there that it didn't take tires. I was able to get tires and restart, you know, seventh or whatever. But I got so lucky that I did not take tires. There were, I don't know how you guys, were you guys caught on that? You know what I'm talking about there, that caution that I'm talking about?
Yeah, when the Tomfoon got the wave around or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I was sitting fifth or sixth.
Okay, so you didn't pit yet?
No, I hadn't actually pit yet.
What about you, Jeff? Did you pit yet? Did you end up getting that wave around?
No, so that was, we hadn't pitted yet. No, what happened?
I know Patrick Anderson got the lucky dog, and he had to restart behind all the wave around trucks.
That's when,
he was upset.
Did we?
Yeah.
I think I pitted already. So I was on the tail end.
This would have been later than that because, Radke is, much further.
Yeah, that's what when like there was like eight of them or something that like
caution. Yeah, that was the caution that Radke got into me, and then
so I
had the EOL, and then Patrick had the EOL too, and then everybody
the
wave around cars passed us. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah,
well, because what happens is because it all has to do with delaying the green, because when it delays the green, the lucky dog gets its start at the end of the field.
Yeah.
So all the wave around cars get to go around, you know, the lucky dog and stuff. You know, one thing to maybe think about for next season, like if that happens, to allow the lucky dog to actually stay in their position, wave rounds, like if that plays out and stuff, because, you know, like they didn't do anything wrong. They're just getting screwed because it was
just a delayed. Glitch.
Because iRacing said, hey, you're supposed to start at the end of the line, you know, whereas the other cars don't have any EOL. So it puts him behind everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and I talked to Matt about the delaying it. I'm like, you know, don't delay that. Just if they got a, if they don't wave around, that's on their fault.
That's on their fault to get the wave.
He'd already did it, so I didn't want to change it. But you know,
I know you're. I knew that you were one of them people too, Dave. That like, hey, if you take the wave around, that's on you to get around the field. You know, it's like, you don't get the lead green to make it back around. It's a strategy by staying out and taking a wave around. It's a strategy. Like, you don't get to get your hand held to get around the track, you know, to make up the time and stuff, which it sucks because it's such a big track and everything too. It's like, who knows how they would have actually have. Because one problem too with people take wave around that I hate, when you're one of the last cars getting a wave around, everybody takes their time to go. It's like, you're in front of the leader. Go. You don't have to wait for them to tell you to pass the pace car. Just go. You're getting the wave around. You don't have to wait, you know? Like, some of the cars will be, like, out of two already. You're just passing the pace car because everyone's just taking off so slow. Like, that's what I hate being, you know, whenever I take a wave around and stuff. It's just everyone in front of you just like not going.
That's part of the strategy, though. You're right that that's the risk you're taking by taking that wave around, which I think it worked out. I mean, other than Patrick you know, having to restart, I think, you know, or the people with the OLs having to restart behind them, it didn't, I don't know if it affected the race after that, but yeah, you're right. I did talk to Matt about that and telling him, like, you know, don't delay the green. I mean, if
there's a reason, like some sort of outside reason to, but you know, just for like wave around cards, it's like, let them try and get around.
But anyways, that's what we have. We have the butt kicker bracket challenge where, you know, four drivers advance to the final four.
One seed taken out.
So, Michael Gitchell, he takes out the number one seed. Gitchell's the eighth seed. He takes out Keith, so he moves on. Josh McKinney was going head-to-head against Kevin. Josh got the point on Monday. He got the point on Thursday, so he advances to the next round. He is the number four seed. So the number eight seed versus the four seed. And then Jeff Ramsdell, who's the number two seed, he was going against the number seven seed of Jeffrey Radke. Jeff got Monday, and then he took the Friday night. So Jeffrey advances. Ramsdell advances. And then I was going against Joe Turkle, which I don't know what happened with Joe on Monday, but he wasn't there on Monday, so I got the point Monday. And so we raced head to head for on Thursday for the to advance. And so I beat him by finishing fourth. So I'm the number 14 seed going against the number two seed next week. The final four is Michael Gitchell against Josh McKinney, and then Jeff Ramsdell against myself. Jeff will pretty much get a bye this round because I'm not going to be able to make it on Monday night, and then I'm broadcasting on Friday, so there's no way I'm going to be able to get 2 points.
I'll race for you, Dave. I will jump into seven.
All right, there we go.
Hey, there we go. Know, the seven, anybody else that jumps in the seven isn't really good luck. But no, that ought to be exciting. That was a great battle with Radke. That was going to be, we are equal, and that was a tough one. I thought that McKinney-Bernheimer was going to be a good battle too, but Josh got him the first two nights. And,
yeah.
And Keith, I thought you were going to get Gitchell.
He did until that caution came out. Or until somebody slid up in front of him, he had him.
see, I mean, that shows too, like, all Monday, like, I just didn't care either, just by quitting in the middle of the race. I was like, okay, I'm like, I think I can cover Gitch, you know, at Michigan, but like, he should have had beat me on Thursday. He was faster than me, but yeah, then the caution killed me, you know. He wasn't going. He still had another 5 laps to get there, but he wasn't going to get. Or that would have been a battle if, you know, he actually had gotten to me, because we wouldn't have been racing for positions on the track. We would have been racing for that point in the bracket challenge.
Yeah, and it does show that the final four, and even you know, Keith himself also, and Joe Turkel, who was, and Kevin Bernheimer, a lot of the drivers that made it this far run on Monday night, so they were getting them bonus points for racing on Monday.
And I think the Kitchell McKinney one's going to be a good battle also. That's going to come down to the wire, I think.
Yeah, and I think that we have Xfinity cars at Indianapolis on Monday.
Charlotte.
Nope, it's Indianapolis.
No, Indy is a Gen 6.
Sure about that?
Yeah.
Let's check the schedule. Let me go to the schedule.
I've been right more than once.
We have not been in the Xfinity car yet. It's Xfinity at Charlotte.
Oh, Xfinity at Charlotte. Yeah, you're right. All right. So Xfinity at Charlotte. And then now, so the Gen 6 is at Indianapolis.
Yes.
All right. So, that will be the next battle. And then next week, we have Iowa with the trucks and the cup cars.
Yeah, that ought to be. Those bumps in 1 and 2 were...
I like
horrible,
Iowa.
Horrible.
Yeah. Iowa's a fun little short track. It's a little bit different than a lot of the other ones. That and Richmond are almost identical, but I feel like there's just, Iowa's just a little bit more smoother, a little bit more wider. It creates a little bit better racing.
On Friday, I'm going to have to put a post-it on my monitors of what the points are, so I know who I have to beat and how much I have to beat them by.
So yeah.
Friday, you were 1 point below. You're beating Patrick by 1 point and beating me by 6.
Yeah.
You and Ratty are tied, and Bernheimer's 1 point ahead of you. So it's really tight.
So basically, you just got to beat Patrick and Jeff.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
I'll have the points somewhere, so I don't have to try it, like,
math it out.
Yeah,
don't have Patrick behind you.
That's the one thing about Thursday nights. You don't have to worry about stage points on Thursday night. Friday nights you do.
And for the rest of the season, I'm just trophy hunting on Thursday too. You know, I'm not racing for anything else. I'm just racing for a win.
So what I have going on for points is that when you're knocked out of the round, your points still accumulate since the beginning of the round. So 5th through 12th can change. So if you're accumulating points, you're knocked out, but you're still accumulating points for 5th. You can get up to 5th in points if you're knocked out. You understand that, Dave?
I get it.
Yeah. So.
I gotta before I forget today, I need to change that session. I think I have the trucks at us at the Dirt to Daytona. I have us at Indianapolis coming up. I have to fix that.
Yes. And I think what we're gonna do is the Triple Crown short track and super speedway, the winners will pick a track that they wanna race on for the next season. I think that'll be a good little thing for the winner to do.
Yeah. Oh, so I get to pick a track next season?
Next season,
you get to pick a track too, Jeff.
Well, that's right, I do, don't I?
For us, yeah. For truck season.
Truck season, huh? Okay, I have to think about that one.
Yeah, for being.
Do you have a list of what tracks that are picked so far? Or no?
The schedule is basically made, but you just pick something.
Yeah. Oh, and I got the thing from Jeroni and you guys. That's awesome. That little best of the rest plaque hanger. It's got to find a place to hang it now.
Pork chop can make some amazing, you know, things and stuff. You know, I kind of have the same thing. I have a back row one, but mine's actually like on a stand, you know. So, but like I told him, I was like, you know what you mean? He's like, yeah. It's like, can you make Jeff one too? Yeah. Like, I think that he'd love it and everything. He's like, sure.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Having fun racing new leagues, and this weekend's going to be a fun race at IRP. Hopefully, someone can knock Lucas off his throne.
Yeah, he needs. Evan, you know, like if Evan can just figure out tires,
this is a tough track on tires, so this is going to be a few cautions, I think.
Yeah. that's what I'm hoping for is a few.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Yeah. You know, just
and hopefully I don't want to get wall bound.
Yeah, I don't want to have to do too many interviews during the race.
Right. Go green, so I don't have to do many interviews.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Which I don't mind doing an interview, but no, I don't want to have I don't want to have to do them. No, green. I think it could be. It, you know, the only problem is it really is people not figuring out how to pass, and then they just start full sending it into it, and then putting people on the wall and stuff like that. You know, it's like, but I mean, so far, you know, we're two races in, and the racing's been great so far. You know, we were at Auto Club, nice big track and everything, but the racing still has, like, it's been, you know, good. You know, the newcomer, you know, Robert Barney, you know, he's quick, you know, up there in the front, you know, both races and stuff. So, like, you know, I think it's gonna put on a good race. You know, I'm excited for Sunday to get here.
That being said, there's no NASCAR race this week, so we'll do driver picks next week.
You know, if I picked my pick, I would have won. But I was like, man, I didn't think about it until I got to my karting thing after I got done with you guys. I'm like, oh, shoot, that's what I had to pick. Like, oh, well.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, you got anything else to add to this?
No.
Don't have Patrick Anderson behind you ever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Or always have him behind you.
Right.
Depends on which side of the coin you're on.
Yeah. Just have him behind you, but make sure he's way behind you.
Exactly. Yeah. Good. At least a second, you know?
Like,
back then. Yeah. So,
is he the new hack?
Oh, it's after this week.
Like last night, though, I can't complain and stuff, you know? Like, I mean, we were working well last night there at the end of the race and stuff, you know, trying to run down the positions in front of us. I can't say nothing about Patrick Dawson. It's just when he's on super speedway.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, with that being said, we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, later. Guys. Later.